Morning, Boker Tov. Today's app is Beitza Daf Lamed Ches. We are right at the last couple of bottom of the Masechta. We left off on Lamed Zayin on Beis. We started getting into the topic of Breira. We were discussing the halachas of Tchumim, that the Tchum of animals, the Tchum of Kalim, the Tchum of the Gemara brought a case of a barrel of wine, flour, the Tchum of various items is dependent on the Tchum of its Bailam. Whatever Tchum the Bailam have, that's the Tchum that these items have. The question was, the Gemara discussed, what if you have a barrel of shutfim or behemoth of shutfim, what's going to be the tchum? So we started the Gemara yesterday already, right by the wide lines on Lama Zayin Beis, but let's pick it up again from the wide lines. We'll go over that last Gemara. Machlekes Rav Shmuel says the Gemara, Itmar, Shtayim Shlachu Chavis behemoth b'shutfis, two people buy a behemoth or a barrel of wine b'shutfis, they buy it prior to Yantav, but they didn't split it prior to Yantav, and they're splitting it on Yantav itself. So Shalos, what's the tchum of the barrel? What's the tchum of the animal? Says the Gemara, Rav Amar Chavis Mutaris behemoth Asura. Rav says the Chavis is mutter, and the behemoth is asur. Mutter and asur simply mean that the mutter means it gets the tchum of each individual owner. Meaning, once you split it up, whichever owner gets his, whichever part ends up by each owner, that part will have the tchum of its owner. That's mutter. And asura means each part is restricted to the tchum of both. It has to be kept within the tchum of both of the partners. So by the behema, Rav says, it's restricted to the tchum of both partners. By the chavis, each one gets to keep it with his own tchum. Shmuel Amar Shmuel says, no, chavis like asura, chavis like behema. In both cases, it's asur, meaning it's restricted to the tchum that belongs to both of them. The Gemara explains what's going on over here, meaning the Sfaradis say that it gets the tchum of each partner, whoever belongs to, would be Breira, even though it wasn't split before Yom Tiv. Once you split it now, it's Huvra Dover retroactively, that this each part who was destined for, which owner is destined for, and it goes back and gets the tchum of that owner from when Yom Tiv started. If you hold that it's Usser, it needs to be within the tchum of both of the parties, that means you say, Ein Breira, that'll be some Malach. Ask the Gemara, that's great for Shmuel. Shmuel clearly seems to be saying Ein Breira, that'll be a key point later on in the Daf, that Shmuel holds Ein Breira, and therefore the Chavis and the Behema are both restricted to the tchum of both of the partners, but Rav makes a chiluk between chavis and behema. Ask the Gemara, Mikas of a Rav, Ikas of Yeshbeira, Rav holds Yeshbeira. That's why by the barrel it gets the tchum of each one of the partner, each individual partner. That's great. Of a few behema tishri, behema should also be permissible because of aimbeira. And Elamai holds aimbeira. If you hold aimbeira, then lechayra, what should be the halacha should be? That a few chavis la mesura. Not only is the, and that's why he's saying the behema is restricted, chavis should also be restricted. Says the Gemara, Lem because of Yeshbeira, Rav, Rav holds Yeshbeira. For shiny behema, the Yanki Yutchum Adodi, behema is different because the two parts of the tchumim are drawing nourishment one from the other, meaning the animal is one entity. You can never split, cut animal in half and say it's not divisible and remain an animal. Once you cut it in half, it's dead animal. It's not alive. The chavis, you split it in half, you have, instead of, let's say, 4 quarts of wine, you now have 2 quarts and 2 quarts. But it's 2 quarts and 4 quarts are no different. You can split it. The behema cannot be split. And therefore, even if you hold Yesh Breira, you can't say the animal is split already and each one got the portion it's supposed to get because it's Yanki Me'adadi. The animal is connected to each other. Each half's connected. Each half's dependent on each other. And you can never fully say, this guy got the half that's always destined him and this guy got the half that's destined him because the half that's destined each one is dependent on the other half. Again, we had an issue and I still don't have a clear answer, but I did find that Chaim Sefer asked the question that we left off at the end yesterday, the Lechaira, why can't you say whichever part that part A is Yainik from part B, that also is included in the Breira, is the Kasha that Chaim discussed. Okay.
Maybe you could say it's because as we continue through Shabbos, they're Yainik from each other, therefore the Tumen are messed up. That's the Gemara's point, not prior.
Very good, very good, very good. So I'm suggesting that even if you were to say that you can split up what it's yainik, you're splitting up what it's yainik before you enter. So wait 1 second. Why not? Why can't you say that whatever was yainik from the beginning of Yom Tov till when you split it? Still, that's also part of the Breira. Why can't it be part of the Breira? Because it has to be the Shvis is before Yom Tov. Chavis said, very good. You say the Shvis is before Yom Tov, and therefore you could say it's Huvra Adavar, each guy got the portion he's supposed to get, but once Yom Tov started, it was being yenny from each other, and therefore it's got the Tchum that already was restricted when Yom Tov started. Very nice. Shkoyach Leizer, very good. Okay. Says the Gemara, Amri Lek, Rav Kana, Rav Asi, Rav, Lissa Muktza, Lei Chashashu, Lissa Tchumen, Chashashu. Says the Gemara, 1 second. Rav Kana and Rav Asi asked Rav, for Issa Muktza, you're not you weren't concerned. Meaning, you're saying this big issue that the animal's yainik me'adadi. One part yainik for the other part. Like Abi Mukta, we're not concerned. Like Abi Tchum, we are concerned. Meaning, if there's a real concern that the animal is yainik one part from the other, and the chayra, we should be concerned not just from a Tchum perspective, we should be concerned from a Mukta perspective as well. And seemingly, we're not concerned by Mukta, so why are we all of a sudden so makbid about yainik me'adadi? If this yainik me'adadi really has status, why are we worried about tafka by Tchum? Why are we worried about also Mukta? Shasik Rav. Rav was quiet. Rav did not give a response to this kasha. Okay, now we get to a big discussion in Breira. This is a very, very sensitive discussion in Breira. Breira is one of those issues throughout Shas that is not so clear for many of the reasons that are because what we'd have in this Gemara. Meaning, Breira itself, the concept is a little hard to grasp, but that's not even the hardest part. The concept is that things that develop later will determine what was happening before, right? Will determine what happened before, what the status was before. It's the determine what's happened. Something that the din or the status of something that happened right now will only be determined later. And Breira makes it that it's retroactive. We say it already happened back then. That's the idea of Breira. Fine. So again, a little bit of a abstract concept, but we can understand the concept. What I mean by confusing is in terms of sak. The Gemara is essentially going to be machlekes now, whether we hold the Breira, whether we don't hold the Breira. And then the Gemara is going to break down the machlekes, whether or not, as we say that, by the Rice or by the Rabbana. Maybe in some cases, maybe by the Rice we hold the Breira, or don't hold the Breira. And by the Rabbana we do. And then ultimately, even after the end of the Gemara, there's going to be machlekes. The Gemara is going to come up with the mahalach, with the hilchasa, and the Rishayim don't necessarily go at the hilchasa. Which that's what it leads to when I say confusion. Not that the topic is so confusing, but the psak. When we say Yesh Berah, do we say Yesh Berah or Ein Berah, that itself seems to be confusing because it's taka not clear, and it's a machlekes Rishayin and Lemaisa, whether or not we apply Yesh Berah, Ein Berah by Darbanas, by Darbanas, that is ultimately a ongoing machlekes. Okay, says the Gemara.
Let me understand the concept of Muktzah. I'm Muktzah my das from somebody else's Peris or somebody else's non-Muktzah object.
Particularly over here by the partners where they bought it to split. Over here, by the partners, they bought it to split, so it's a little bit different. But yeah, I hear you.
Yeah,
I hear.
I saw some people who want to learn that the shuman that's growing, if it was on Shabbos.
Why should that be? So why is that a problem with any animal in Yom Tov?
That's what I was asking. That's never a problem.
If you look at Rashi,
Pashtus is referring to what Rabbi Dari was saying. It's referring to the chelik of the other party. So he's asking, I don't see my friend's items are muktzah for me if they're fit to eat. I may eat by my friend, he may eat by me. So why is this different? I'm saying, so my understanding was that because it's shutvin that I'm destined to split. They bought it to split. That makes it more of a, that's why I thought the Bishah was. Okay. Mahavila, Rabbi Shai Aymer, Yesh Be'er, Be'er, Aymer, Aym Be'er. So what is the bottom line over here with these animals, with the chavis? So Rabbi Shai says, Yesh Be'er, this Be'er, and therefore let's focus at least on the chavis. Each one can take his portion of the wine to his tchum. Rabbi Chanamar, Aym Be'er, no Be'er, and therefore they're both restricted to the common tchum areas. The son of Rabbi Shai Be'er, ask him, does Rabbi Shai really say Yesh Be'er of Atan? We learned in the Mishnah we've quoted many times over the past couple of Masechtas, Hameis Babayis Flip Sechmarbe. If there's a mace in a house, and the house has many doors, so it's safe, a mace, lotzeis, from any one of these doors, kulin tamei, therefore all the doors are tamei. Any door that it's possible the mace is going to leave from already gets it in tamei. Already has a dintumah, and the doorway right now has a dintumah. However, if one of the doors was opened up, the person died, and one of those was not opened up, who tell me kulin tamei? That doorway is going to be tamei. One door is opened up, so now that's the doorway, so it's destined to leave. Other doors are still closed, so that's the door that mace is destined to leave from. What's in that doorway is tamei, the rest of the doorways are now tar. What if the person had an intent? Right, the person who was dealing with the mace had intended specifically to remove the mace through door A. Or this is a window, as long as the window has four tefachim before tefachim opening, he has in mind that he's going to take the mace out that door, not that window. It saves all the other doorways from tumah because now he has a specific intent to take the mace out of that door. What's in that door is tumah, or that window, the rest are going to be tar. Now, here we have where comes in. Bishama says that's a great way. You could save the other doors as long as the person in charge had this kivun. The person, the nebuch, the mace was about to die, and the person who was in charge had in mind when he dies, I'm going to take through that door. So he already was solidified in his mind which door the mace is going to go through prior to the mace dying and giving tumah throughout the house, throughout all the doorways. Veselamim, no, afishavas mace. It works even after misa, even if the guy has a kivun after the mace, after the benifter actually died, so he already is in a state of mace. All the doorways should be subject. The fact that he has in mind one doorway, that makes that the single door, and the other ones are saved. And on the machlekes b'sham esilim, whether or not the kivun had to have been before the mace died, or even if the mace died, says Rav Hashaya, l'taris apsach makad laba. Even mace hillel who's saying that it works after the mace died, he only means that it can purify the other doorways going forward. Anything that was in any of the doorways till that machshava happened will be tameh. It's only going forward now that he had a kivun. After the guy died, he had a kivun who's going to take the mace out of a specific door. What's in the other doorways now is saved going forward. If it wasn't there, had not been there yet, it would be saved going forward. But to go backwards, you don't say it. Why? Because you don't say breira. Says Marmakanaba in Mafreila. If you hold the H breira, then whatever door he has in mind to bring it to, that would work to say that was always the door, and therefore only that door is tummy, and whatever the other was by the other doors even prior to the Makshava would not be tummy if you hold the H breira. Rav Hashaya is clarifying Beis Hillel in a way where you clearly hold Ain Breira. So we're bothered. And Agamar was saying, Rav Hashaya is Paskin's Yesh Breira. Rav Yechon says Ain Breira. Clearly by Tumah, Rav Hashaya is saying Yesh Breira. Says Mekan Laba. I'm sorry. By Tumah, saying Ain Breira. Mekan Laba in Lemafreya Loi. Dafka Mekan Laba, Rav Hashaya is saying it works. Not in Lemafreya, because Lechari heals Ain Breira. Epech Mar says, you're right. It's very clear. Rav Hashaya Amr Ain Breira, Rav Yechon Amr Yesh Breira. You have to flip it and say, Rav Hashaya was saying on Agamar Paskin Ain Breira, and you restrict it to the common area of both of the owners of the barrel. And Rabbi Yechon's mother says Yesh Beira, and each owner can take his wine to his tchum. That's why you have to flip it and say Rabbi Yechon's mother says Yesh Beira. Ask the Gemara right away. Well, me is the Rabbi Yechon Beira. Does Rabbi Yechon the Beira? I'm asking Rabbi Yechon. Achad Shecholku, one of the most famous cases that we bring up when it comes to Beira. Two brothers splitting Yerusha. Lekuchas Hain, Amachzein Zabievel. The Shaila, whether they have a status of Lekuchas, are they buyers from each other? They're bartering, they're making sales, they're partners that are there. Hunters that are splitting up assets like buyers, or are they Yershim? Are they Yershim of a sense of Yersh? What does it mean, the Yershim? That means when they split the estate of the father, do we say each one, whenever we divide up what each one gets, it's we view it as if each one got what they were always destined to get. It's not the pshat that Reuven and Shimon each had a 50% claim, let's call it, on a 50% claim on the whole estate. And then when Reuven takes his 50% and Shimon gets his 50%, each one is bartering whatever portion of ownership the other one had in his chalik. They're bartering against the whatever portion he has in the other one's chalik. So they're basically making a sale. Or do we say no? Whatever goes to Reuven was ultimately supposed to go to Reuven, and it's 100% is. There's no bartering, no exchange going on. And whatever goes to Shimon is 100% is. There's no exchange going on. What's the nafkamina? A basic nafkamina is Bayevil. Bayevil, sales go back. Things that were sold go back. So over here, who would it go back to? It would go back to them, but it would go back to the estate. So let's say Reuven did phenomenally well with his portions, his fields, and Shimon's fields, Nebuch, didn't do so well. So Shimon wants it to go back to the estate. Reuven wants to keep it. So do we say it goes back to the estate and they redivide it? Or does it remain by each partner? It depends if you say Breira. Rabbi Yechon holds, Lekuchas Hain, it's like, they're like as if they bought it from each other, meaning you don't say Breira, and it goes back by Yevos. How can you say in our sugya, Rabbi Yechon says Yesh Breira? So now the Mishnah starts to get the qualifications of Deraisa Darbanan. Maybe Rabbi Yechon, when doesn't he hold the Breira? By a Deraisa, meaning Yerusha is a Deraisa. But by Darbanan, such as our case of Tchum and Arsugya, he would say that Breira works. Does he hold even by Darbanan? Is there Breira? Does he hold even by Darbanan? Aye, Vatani, Aye. I had torn the bride to be the Emir. Ain't a demasal shedar gechon. A person cannot make a tanai on two things at the same time. Ella bachacham. This is again a mar we had an Erevin. Ella bachacham the mizrach may ruvi the mizrach and a Shabbos. The marav ruvi the marav vilu kanakan lay. That let's say a person heard that there is a chacham coming and he wants to in the nearby town and he wants to be able to go there on Shabbos to hear drasha, but he's too far. It's too far to walk. It's out of the chum. So he wants to make an Erev. But he's not sure if the Chacham is coming to the town to the east of him or to the west of him. So he makes the air in both directions, and he makes it tonight, and he says, he makes the air in both directions, and he says, I want my air to be to the west if he comes to the west, to the east if he comes to the east. And we say that if he does such a thing, the Ilu Kanakan, lying, Rabbi Yudot, it's not going to work. You want to make an air conditional in both directions, it doesn't work. Meaning, if you read the simple words of the Brisa, so if you didn't really fully attention properly, the first case was saying you can make an Erev conditional if he's to the east, I'm to the east, to the west, to the west. Sounds like that does work, but you can't make an Erev Lakan Lakan. That seems to be, those two lines don't stim. What's going on over here? So the Mark explains, the same aim brera should apply in both cases. Rabbi Yechon explains what it means in the first case is the Chacham already came. Meaning, when he say the Mizrach Lamarv, it does work, it's talking about where the Chacham arrived Friday. I just don't know that we knew the Chacham was arriving Friday, and he arrived Friday. It wasn't clear from the messages whether he arrived to the west or arrived to the east. Over there, I can make an Erev, a conditional Erev in both directions, and once we verify which direction the Chacham is, the Erev works. Why? Because over there, it's not Breira. It's called Gili Milsa. It already happened. The Chacham is already in one of the places. Breira is the pshat that the result is not yet, it's not just not yet known. It's not yet determined. Whereas over here, it's determined, I just don't know it. I don't have the information, but it's already determined. So in the case where it's determined, I just don't know which one it is, I can make an Erev Al Tanai. In a case where it's not determined, b'chal, I cannot make an Erev Al Tanai. Who's saying this explanation in the Brayser Rabbi Yechanan? We're talking over there about Tchumim, Mamash HaSugya, it's Dirabanan, and still he's saying Ein Breira. So we prove that Rabbi Yechanan holds Ein Breira by Deraisa, which is Yerusha, and now we're saying, even by Dirabanan, don't tell me he holds by Tchumim, Yesh Breira, because even by Tchumim, clearly he's saying, Ein Breira, the assumption is if he's explaining that Braisa, that he's explaining Rabbi Yehuda, he's explaining the Braisa, means he agrees, says Gemara, Alma less late, Rabbi Yechon Breira, doesn't hold the Breira, even by Derabanans. So we're back to the question, Elam, late Epech, Gemara says, you're right, don't go back, don't be Epech, the Machlekes Rabbi Yechon Rishaya, go back to the original version, that what Rabbi Yechon does not hold the Breira, like you just proved, both the rest of Rabbanan, and Rabbi Shaya holds the Breira, we put a proof by the mace, by Tumma, by the different doorways. Rabbi Shaya did not hold the Breira over there. He left Rabbi Shaya Breira, but the rest of the Rabbanan said, it's late. Let's go back that even though we have a proof that Rabbi Shaya doesn't hold the Breira by the mace, that's Tumma, mace is Daraisa. Yes, but Daraisa, you don't say Breira. Our sug is Tumma's Rabbanan. Rabbi Shaya holds that by Rabbanan, we say, Yesh Breira, Darish Marzutra, Halacha Rabbi Shaya, and Marzutra Taka Darshan, Halacha is like Rabbi Shaya, that what? That by Daraisa, Ein Breira, by Rabbanan, Yesh Breira. Okay, before we go further, we have a few things to point out. First of all, there's a very geshmaka shaka medaya from the Beis Levi. It's really based on a question of the Shaka Zariah. We're saying in our sugya that Rabbi Yechon holds Ein Breira. And since he holds Ein Breira, by the schavis of Shutfin will be restricted to the common area of both partners, right? Because we say Ein Breira, it's bound to, you don't say that each one got the portion that was destined for him. Rather, they each the wine belonged to both of them when Yantav started, and it's restricted to the tchum of both partners if we say Ein Breira. That's what comes out from our Gemara. That's Rabbi Yechon. That ultimately saying that Shita Rabbi Yechon, we thought to say maybe it's Rabbi Yishaya, but coming back ultimately to say no, Rabbi Yishaya holds by Darbanan Zish Breira, Rabbi Yechon holds Ein Breira, and therefore the tchum is going to be restricted. Ask the Shaka Zayin. We have Tosfos and Gittin on the Mem Zayin Beis. Tosfos Gittin says that when we say Ein Breira, according to Madonna, it says Ein Breira. So when the Shutim split, it's at least a suffix. It's a suffix by brothers. Brothers that are splitting Yerusha, let's say. It's a suffix that maybe they're getting the right proportion, maybe not. It's at least a suffix. That's the Tosfos and Gittin. The point is that even if you hold Ein Breira doesn't mean the Peshat is that's for sure. It's for sure. We for sure say each person, when he splits up in the Shutfis, he for sure didn't get what's rightfully his. It's just that it's possible he didn't get. It's probably more likely than not. He didn't get exactly what was destined to be his, but it's possible he did get what was destined to be his. We just don't know for sure. That's the idea of Ein Breira when it comes to Shutfin splitting up. That is Tosfos and Gittin, Mem Zayin Beis. It's essentially calling it a suffix whether each one got his portion. What's the Nafkamina? Tosfos is explaining Ein Breira translates by Shutfin splitting into a suffix. Nafkamina is, by suffix derabanan, we go lakula. The din of Tchumim is a din derabanan. So if that's the case, by Chavis, why don't we say that there's a chance, again, we think it's not necessarily the greatest chance, but there's a remote chance that when they split it, they actually split what was ultimately Ein Breira, but still it's a suffix that maybe each one got was destined to come to him, perhaps. And therefore, again, without the taste of the Kashmir Asai, you'd say, there's no suffix even. Ein Breira means Ein Breira, it was never, there's no way to retroactively determine what each person was supposed to get, and therefore it's impossible. Here, according to Tosfos, we're saying it's at least a suffix. Once a suffix, say suffix to our Rabbanan Lakula, as Zayfik the Shaka Zayin, based on Tosfos Amem Zayin, and our Sugya, everyone should agree that the Chavis, the people have the Karagli, whoever each person gets, his portion, it goes like his the reglayim of the bailim and not like the regular shneim, because the chera safik darban the kula asay frik shakizai answer shakizaya that it's a davar sheish lamatirin. It's a davar sheish matirin. Tomorrow you can take the wine everywhere. Tchum is only asar yamtiv. Same concept earlier in the spesekta. That davreshesh matirin, we don't say, we don't apply dino of bittel. We don't apply the bittel. We had that way back on the gimel. So too, by davreshesh matirin, we're not going to apply this din of suffik to rabbanu lekula. Interesting. You don't apply suffik to rabbanu lekula by davreshesh matirin. That's the shagaz that answers. Answers the base of Levi. There's a chazara of a din we had in psachim around psachim. I'll go to the Ram psachim first, and then we'll come back to us over here. The Ram psachim, the discussion there was that we know there's four cases on Pesach, and we know you're supposed to lean for two. And you don't have to lean for the other two. We're not sure which one has to, yet one has to lean. So therefore, what do we say? Lean by all four. You have to lean by all four. Ask the Ran, say opposite. The whole din of the kaisas are drabanan. It's all drabanan. The leaning, the din of leaning by kaisas is drabanan. And therefore say, suffik drabanan the kula. And therefore, you don't have to lean by any of them. You don't have to lean by any of them. I'll suffik. You don't have to lean by any. We're not sure which one you're supposed to lean by. So don't lean by any. You can say, yeah, why not? Why not? Okay, fine. But the halacha is that we are naik, that we're supposed to lean by all. You should say, lechera, we're not mechiv to any. I'll suffik. Answers the Ran. We know you're supposed to lean by two cases. That we know there's an obligation, but we're supposed to be leaning by two cases. If applying suffik drabanan the kula is going to be a clear stira to the drabanan, we're for sure suffik drabanan the kula is. I'm not sure if I'm over drabanan over here, so I'm allowed to go to the kula. If I'm for sure being over drabanan, even though it's coming mekayach suffik, you can't see suffik drabanan the kula. As I like the Ran, it sounds like a lump of shachar and shtigl, but there's a Ran in Psachim. It says that basically the exact same insight over here. If you're going to say suffik the kula, you know what's going to happen. It's not the pshat each one's going to be able to take the chavis to his destination. They should each be able to take it to his own destination and to the other guy's destination. I should get my tchum and your tchum. Suffik lekula tells me that I get the best ladies adding a nice chap. Suffik lekula tells me that it gets my tchum, but maybe it's not mine and maybe it's yours. So when I get to the point that's no longer my tchum, but it's still your tchum, suffik should say, I should be able to go there too. So, once you're applying suffik, I should be able to go to both. That's going to be a stira to give it both. A maizis, a suffik will lead to a stira, will lead to a contradiction. I'm for sure being over, and therefore, even though it's a darbanan, if I'm sure going to be over the darbanan, we don't say suffik darbanan the kula in such a case. Beautiful, Eid Chap from the Beis Halevi, which is really based on a Ran, and I don't know if he brings it around, but it's based on Ran in Psachim. Okay, one of the point.
You know,
Yoni,
I'm thinking if it's a
tafik
rabbanon, it's also
lachila
for each one, the other has, therefore it's not accessible to it before.
You go back to
muktzah. No, Erev has to be roi lachila. You have to be able to eat it. If it's the other person's, even if it's a tafik rabbanon, you can't say.
Erev's not about. Erev's not about. We discuss Erev by kalim, by other items too. Erev's not just about lachila. I think you're mixing up. What's established as an Erev with. We're not talking about establishing it. We're talking about the tchum of the item itself. Okay, so we have like this. We have the Ran in Gittin. He writes, The Ran in Gittin writes that Ein Breiras Daraisa. So the Ran writes, is only where Breiras Akula. We're saying Ein Breiras. We're coming at the everyone agrees. Rabbi Shaya and Rabbi Echon both agree. On the Daraisa level, we say Ein Breiras. The whole shaila is what about Darabanan? Rabbi Yechon says Ein Breira, and Rabbi Shaya we want to say holds by Darabanan Yesh Breira. That's what we're coming out in our Gemara. And Rabbi Yechon says Halacha is like Rabbi Shaya. Fine, but by Daraisa everyone agrees Ein Breira. That's what seems to be clear in our Gemara. Says the Ran that if saying Breira represents by Daraisa a Chumra, then at least B'Safik we'd say Yesh Breira L'Chumra. Interesting Ran. That at least B'Safik we would say Yesh Breira L'Chumra. The Yam Shama argues and says that by Achav Shechalku, if that's the case, he says it can't be, because Achav Shechalku we say, if you hold Ein Breira, they have to give it back to the state by Yevil. But if you say that you L'Chumra, we say, at least B'Safik Yesh Breira, one brother should be able to tell another brother, L'Chumra, L'chumra to you, L'chumra for me, but L'chumra to you, I want to apply Yesh Beira, L'chumra, and not go back to the original split, not go back to the original split of the state, not go back to the original, put it to the state and redo it the split. I want to stick with the original split that we did. The fact that no brother could tie into that, could say, M'safik, might be Chavar Raya, prove that I'm wrong, would be an indication that the Raya says, Ein Beira Bechlal, across the board, that is the Yav Shem's question on the Ran, and he actually brings that there seems to be a steer in Rambam. Yav Shem had issues with the Rambam Bechlal, the Rambam Yana Chazaka writes the Halacha, but doesn't show, he doesn't write where he connects, which Gemara, which source he connects any particular Halacha to. He writes all the Halachas, L'maisa, and the Achrayim get busy delve as to where the Rambam got it from, but the Yavshem is bothered, and in his issues, he quotes this as a stira in the Rambam, because he brings in one place the Rambam's mashba that b'deraisa it's ein brira across the board. And in another place around the Mashba, at least specific, we would say l'chumra yesh brira. So not so clear in Rama himself. And part of the complication, again, we pointed out before, of brira yesh brira ein brira is we're coming out now in our sugya at least, but the rights to ein brira. But the rabbanon we have machlekes yesh brira ein brira. We have a psak to say yesh brira but the rabbanon at least. But the Rishonim argue, if you go with this psak, because Rabbi Yaakov elsewhere is passes like that. Mishnah Rabbi Yaakov is kavanaki. So we have one Gemara saying Hilchos in one way. We have Rabbi Yaakov saying Hilchos another way, which is, and we all typically pass like Rabbi Yaakov. So we write to Machlekes Rishonim, whether you pass like Gemara, that helps lead to the general confusion in the sugya of Beira. Okay, says Gemara, Amar Shmuel, Shor Shapatim Arei Karagli Kol Adam. The Shor of the one who used to fatten the ox. By the person whose his job is to fatten up the animals. Halacha is it has the ragli as the tchum of whoever goes and purchases it on Yom Tov. Why? We know that purchase Yom Tov for Yom Tov purposes. So whoever purchases it gets his tchum. Why? This lechur would be clear an idea of brera. The lechur clearly would be an idea of brera that whoever buys it on Yom Tov, so whoever adover this animal is destined for him, and therefore from the Yom Tov it gets his tchum. Shor shal roya harek ragli esair. The shor of the shepherd has the tchum of the karagle, sorry, isair. Yeah, like the regal of the people of the city. Meaning like the people living in the city, like all the people of the city, it's restricted to that tchum. Now the question is, who's the author of this memra? The author of this memra is Shmuel. We point down, we started today. The first Gemara we started was that Rav said Chavis can get the tchum of both of the partners. Whereas Bema, because Yanki Adadi, that's restricted. So Chavis gets the tchum of each of the individual partners, so to speak. They each get their own tchum because of Breira. But Bema, Yanki Adadi, we can't split it up. Shmuel says across the board you can't split up, which we said because Shmuel's ain't Breira. Here Shmuel clearly seems to be saying Yesh Breira, because we're saying whoever the fattener sells it to, it was destined to go to that person Metchila, and therefore it gets his tchum. What's going on over here is Shmuel flipping from what he said back on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. Over here he's saying the Yesh Breira, is that what's happening or not? So the Rishonim already addressed the question. The Baal Ma'ar says that Shmuel agrees that an animal that's destined to be sold, that's sitting there destined to be sold, that's going to be a case we say Breira. This is set up to be sold. That's the purpose. It's Tafkin. Of course, we say Yesh Breira there. Reason we don't say Yesh Breira by its partners, because when partners split, even though it's pretty funny, we know they bought it before Yom Tov in order to split on Yom Tov, they may get into argument, they may get into fight, they have to split with the fights between partners all the time. So over there, since the split is not as clear, even though the destiny is split, it's not as clear, we don't say Breira. So essentially, coming out that Shmuel also agrees, we would say Yesh Breira. It's just that by the partners, we're not saying Yesh Breira. That is how the Baal Ma'ar learns. Others, Rishon want to say, no, Avad Shmuel Kipashtas holds, we say Ein Breira. Avad Shmuel, we say Ein Breira. But over here, there's a very interesting concept. Over here, because the Shar of the Petim is going to belong to someone else by our case, we start off with two partners. Their partners, not sure which one is which part. That has to come out to Breira, no good. Over here, the Shar Shal Petim, yes, it belongs to him right now. But he's not going to be the owner through Ayantav. It's clearly going to belong to someone else, to the buyer. It becomes like a gender of Chefzi Hefker. We know Chefzi of Hefker that have no owner, that owners going into Yantav. They do not acquire a... They don't require a tchum. They don't require any specific tchum. And then whoever is kainit, it gets the tchum of the person who is the tchum of the person who is kainit. So therefore, in this case, the person buying it from the fattener is like being kainit from hefker. And therefore, even Shmuel, who holds ein breira, could agree that it will have the tchum. It will have the tchum of whoever is the purchaser. Okay, the first point out that by the case of the second case of Shmuel, by the case of the Raya, we're talking about a Raya the Raya is not someone who's watching it for other people. He actually raises animals, a regular shepherd's raising animals for himself, and then he sells it on occasion to people of the city. So we're saying that it's sometimes going to stay with him, sometimes going to stay with others, so therefore it gets restricted to the tchum of all the people of the city. It's restricted, not like the case of the fattener who everything is meant to sell. Over here it's sometimes sold, sometimes not, so it gets the restrictions of both. Says the Gemara further, Hashel Kli Mechaveri Merev Yom Tov, one who borrows a kli from his son, this is the Mishnah, one who borrows a kli from his son, Merev Yom Tov, we say in the Mishnah that the halacha is he gets the tchum, the item gets the tchum of the borrower, because he borrowed before Yantav. He has more pshita. It's not obvious if he took possession before Yantav. Why wouldn't he get the tchum of the borrower? It was given Yantav, meaning it was discussed and agreed upon that the borrower would be able to borrow the item before Yantav, but only was delivered on Yantav. It was only or the bar only picked it up by handiv. And therefore it doesn't get his tchum, it wasn't his rishus. Kamashpulan, since it was designated to be in his rishus yantiv, even the current owner, the owner who was, that it's by, he had in mind that it should get the tchum of the borrower, everyone's in agreement, and it gets the tchum of the borrower. So this interpretation of the Mishnah is a beautiful proof to Rabbi Yechon, who says this exact din, that when one agrees to borrow something before yantiv, but doesn't actually take possession until yantiv, it still gets the tchum of the borrower, because it was understood from before yantiv that it's destined to go into this guy's hands. That's not brera, that's really just actualizing what already was discussed. Yamtiv, correct the mashal, we send the mission further, that if he borrows the yantiv itself, it gets the raglayim of the lender, because when yantiv started, it was destined to stay by the lender. The Mara says, pshita vaiter, that's also pashat l'tzvicha, the ragl v'shalmenei, we're talking about a case where the guy constantly borrows. Every week, the guy is borrowing from his friend, his peeler, or maybe it's a bad example for yantiv, for Shabbos, not so simple, but let's say his knife. So, since he's always borrowing it, it would already be considered the rishus of the borrower, because it's already a pattern. Kamash Balan, we say no, because the lender may say to himself, maybe this week he'll find another one, maybe this week he'll board his own. Maybe he'll find someone else to go borrow from. That we would think that could be the thought, that is likely the thought process of the lender, and therefore even something is borrowed consistently, if it wasn't discussed before yantiv, and it was only being borrowed ayantiv, even though it was being borrowed consistently, at the end of the day, it's still going to have the tchum of the lender, not the borrower, because until it's borrowed, the lender has a mind that maybe he'll find someone else to borrow from. A woman who borrowed from her friend different ingredients for baking the breads, the salt, the water for her dough, we said it's restricted to the tchum of both the one who's supplying it and the isha, of course, who's now using it. When Abba went up from Babel to Israel, he said the following tefillah. May it be that I say something that will be in the skabel. May it be that my words on the skabel, the Mechasam Sefer, amongst others, say that this is not a proper tefillah. It is not a proper, we don't say tefillah that my worship is skabel. We say tefillah, Gemara Brachas, we say every morning, every day before we daven, before we start learning, we daven that Shalei Yera Davar Takalia, I shouldn't make a mistake, I shouldn't mess up halacha, and my friend will laugh at my mess up, or vice versa, my friend shouldn't mess up halacha on Aleph and M. Rather, we should all say the proper halacha. Fine, that's okay. To daven that, I shouldn't say the wrong thing or say something silly. But the daven that my worship is Kabbal, it's almost like daven, I should get respect. I should hit a home run. I should say something, and the Emsir should accept my learning. That's not a proper tefillah, which will be around in the story, because it's tefillah. It's interesting. The Mer mentioned the tefillah, and throughout the story, Reb Abba was laughed upon by the people in the story. Some Sefer explains the reason is because it wasn't a proper tefillah. So, side point, I know we're short on time a bit, but very, very Kedai heard this from a Enochal. And obviously, an Aaron Eagle from the Chassam Sefer, Meisha Friedman over here in Toronto, he asked that there's a Tshuva Chassam Sefer, where Chassam Sefer himself writes in the beginning of the Tshuva, Ye Rava de Ema Milsa de Siskabel. Ye Rava, that my words should be in Siskabel. Chassam Sefer himself, who took the strong approach to this Gemara there, Abbas Tefillah was incorrect, did that in Tshuva Samach. Check it up in our Chaim, Tshuva Samach. Chassam Sefer himself writes such a Lashon. So, is Meisha Friedman, the Enochal, defending his Zayda, wanted to say a nice chap teretz, that the tshuva of this discussing whether they were allowed to rebuild houses ayidei goyim on Shabbos. There was a story in the early 1800s in Pressburg, where Chassam Sefer lived, where there was after a war, there was a lot of the houses that were laying in ruins, and there was people desperate to move into, winter was coming, to move into houses before the winter properly, and there was an opportunity to have goyim build houses, but Chassam Sefer was very reluctant to give a heter. So he writes in that tshuva, I'm going to give a heter, even though I don't want to, as long as other rabbanim agree to my heter. I'm going to allow b'shas atrach, the goyim, to build on Shabbos, as long as other rabbanim agree to my heter. So says Meisha Friedman, beautiful. That's why he said, Gei Rava, that it should be Miskaba Milsa. Not that he wanted, the whole issue of being saying Gei Rava, my words are Miskaba, is because the person wants his first covet, he wants Gei Rava, that his words should be Miskaba. That's not a proper tefillah. But over here, he was saying Gei Rava, Miskaba Milsa, because his Pesach was dependent on it being Miskaba by others, a nice chap, that the Chavzer himself wouldn't be a seer. Okay, getting back to the Gemara, this topic, of course, is over here, is back to our Shiloh, the water and the salt. Kisalak of Ashrei, when he got to that soil, he found either Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Chanin, Rabbi Papi, Rabbi Zera, or Amila, or Rabbi Vovah, Rabbi Shem HaPaz, Rabbi Tzvon Afcha, either group of Chachamim, Vyasp, Vikarmi, they were sitting and discussing Amai, Vilibatel, they were discussing the following question: why on earth does it have the tchum of both the woman who lent the ingredients and the woman who's took the ingredients, it should be butl, the water that's provided, and the salt should be butl to the overall dough, and whatever tchum this isha has with her dough, that's the tchum that the water and salt should get. Why is it still restricted to the tchum of the original isha that gave the product? Amal Abayis, Abba, Shababa says, top of the base, if he mixes in one kav of his own chitim and 10 kav of his friend's chitim, so basically the friend has a ratio of 10 to 1. Could the friend who has 10 to 1 ratio say, oh, your minimal amount is batel of mine, and I keep everything, and just laugh. He could laugh at him and say, it's all mine now. I was bittel, meaning, what if Abba's saying, and just a heads up, this whole Gemara, from this whole Medbez, this Shakavatai conversation, is a little bit complicated, a little bit vague. We're going to try to read it on a very basic, simple pshat level, but it is definitely not an easy reading Amud. But the conversation Reb Abba is suggesting is as follows. Tchum is totally in bilus, totally in mumminus. So granted, when it comes to Israel, you have a concept of bittel, but are you going to apply bittel to mumminus when you point out when it has a ratio of 10 to 1 of product against someone else? Are you going to say that the 1 is bittel to the 10? In mumminus, you don't say bittel. And therefore, by tchum, don't tell me that the mayim and melech should be bittel in the isa, and therefore the tchum should be totally in the isa, the overall isa's tchum, and not the tchum of the woman who provided the mayim and melech. You don't say bittel in mumminus. That is Rabbi Abba's question to them. They actually laughed at Rabbi Abba. Amalu gulsaychu shaki. Have I taken your shirt that you laughing at me? Hader achichole laughed him again. So you see again the laughing again. Back to what we said in the Chasam Sefer that they were laughing at him. It was almost, I don't want to say coming to Rabbi Abba. It was coming to Abba because he had said a tefillah that is. Psak should be mekubal. And I think before we said a little bit wrong, it wasn't just the nekud isn't just that it's that it was a tefillah for his kavod that the psak should be accepted, and therefore he was laughed at, which is a direct kind of punishment affront to his kavod. It's a little more than that. The tainuch some sefer has is that if a person wants Torah to be Torah's emes, he's worried about the amita shatera, he shouldn't care that his svar is accepted. That's not the point. Again, it does relate back to the idea we're saying of kavod, but the main focus of the concern is that a person should be worried about Torah coming out to the emes of pshat. So therefore, it's not about whether I'm right or you're right, it's about whether we get to the right outcome. And therefore, to feel that my worship in Mekuyim is itself a negative feel. Again, we daven that we shouldn't say anything negative. He writes, we say it before we learn, is that we shouldn't say anything wrong. Anything shnag shleik l'chusa, we shouldn't say bad svaras, but not so much that it should be our svaras accepted over Yenim's. That's not the main point. The point is we should get the right outcome. Either way, they laughed at him. So what happens? Amar Vaishavesha wanted to explain why was Rabbi Abba's taina not a taina. They just laughed. They didn't say a reason why it's not a taina. Shapar v'dechachalei, it was good, it was correct in the sense that they laughed at him, because his taina is not a taina. Maish nachitim, b'sarim d'lai kamerlu. Why didn't Rabbi Abba not give an example of chitim within Zayrim? Because that's mimishenaminai. We have bittel. Tavle mimishenaminai. Mimishenaminai bittel. When you have a min in enaminai, meaning wheat and barley, two different species. When you have a min in enaminai, we would say bittel over there. So that's why he didn't want to say that case. That's why he picked miminai. Well, guess what? Chitim chitinami. Need to bittel bittel. Or bottom bottle bottle. Rabbi Hudol's miminai ain't a bittel by chitin. By chitim chitin. Let's say or by any min b'minai. But the Chum saying even min b'minai is batal when they have different halachic statuses. So why didn't he pick a case of min of wheat and barley? Obviously, it's because he wanted to avoid min b'enei minai. But according to Rabban, even min is batal. See, back to the question, taka should be batal. Amar of Safra, Meisha Shabakam, Meisha's lashon of kavod. Meisha Shabakam, are you saying properly when you're saying they're right for laughing at Rabba Abba? So if Safra is defending Rabba Abba, he's arguing on Rabbi Shaya, and he says, one who is bairer the pebbles out of his friend's silo. So basically, the halach is as follows. If a person has wheat, that he has lots of big sacks full of wheat, and within the sacks of wheat, you're supposed to get rid of some, there's general impurities are supposed to be taken out, but there's a amount of pebbles, whatever the ratio is, there's an amount of pebbles, amount of junk that is normal to be part of the sack of wheat. And when one sells it by weight, it's accepted, it's not considered a bad mekach, mechatoyas, or cheating if there's some wheat in there, some rocks, pebbles in the mixture that will cause the weight to go up. That's part of what you pay for. It's considered part of it. Now, however, once the pebbles are purified or taken out from the wheat, you can't put it back in. So when the guy takes it out, what's he doing? He's effectively causing the balha wheat a loss of money, because he could have sold it for 10 pounds worth of wheat. By taking out a pound of pebbles, now he's selling only 9 pounds worth of wheat, and he can't put it back in, so he's causing a loss of that 10% of that pound of pebbles. Says the Gemara, he has to pay in the value of chitim. Now the svara is, even though the pebbles really had no value betzim, since the removing it, it's like a gerim of mammon, the gerim kesef kesef. Since removing it causes the bialim to lose that value they would have gotten, he's got to pay for it because the bialim cannot put it back. Alma ki lachasrei. We see from here that even something which be'etzem has no shavius, has no value, it's inherently worthless, you still have to pay back for that which is diminished. So hachanami ki lachasrei. So it's over here lechayra the ownership does have status. Meaning Rav Safra is coming to defend Rabbi Abbas Taina. Don't tell me that my melech have no status and it's batel. It's not batel. Even something which has no value, like pebbles, isn't batel, and the person who removes it has to pay back the baal chitim for the loss that he causes. So for sure, the maim melech, which are better than the pebbles, for sure they retain value. And back to Reb Abba Svara, since it has value, tchum is based on monetary value. If it has monetary value, therefore it should be restricted to the tchum of the woman who provided the mayim and melech. Says Abayas is back to Rav Safra, and this is he's gonna ask a question supporting Rabbi Yeshaya against Rabba. What type of tain is that? Over there by the wheat, by the pebbles in the wheat, the mammon has a teveya. The bala wheat is very bothered. He had money, he had wheat, he had $50 worth of wheat, and now it's only worth, based on weight, $45. Took out, right, 10%. It's only worth $45 because he took out the weight of the pebbles. He has junk he took out, but it was about, his wheat's not worth $45, and he's tevet, he wants his money. And since he wants his money, therefore it has still a status, even though bats and pebbles are worthless, it's still causing a loss. There's a teveya there as status. Point of error is in our case, when the woman gave Maim Melech to the other Isha, the first Isha has no teveya. She's not expecting to be paid back her Maim Melech to the Yamtiv. The second Isha has, it fully belongs to her. There's no Teveya on the Mayim Amelech, and therefore it's more light. It makes more sense to say that's batel and has no status compared to the case of the pebbles in the wheat. How can you make a comparison? Amar Le, so if Safra argues back in Abaya, but it doesn't fully. Ultimately, ultimately, we're not going to fully be successful in defending Rav Abba. Let's see. Amar Le, so if Safra argues back in Abaya, we'll tell you according to your logic. Hadam Rav Chizda. This Rav Chizda says Legabe Rabbi Yehuda Shita. In Bittel. Rabbi the Shita in Bittel is that only Mimba Enimin is Bittel. Mimba, we just said before, Mimba Min is Ena Bittel. So what if you have an Avela Beshchuta? What if you have an Avela meat, when more Shchuta meat, we say the Avela could become Bittel in the Shchuta because that's considered Mimba Shena Minoi, and it could become Bittel, and it elaborates Lefisha EF Shchuta Lashas Navela. As opposed to, we're going to see in the next case, Navela can never become Shchuta. Navela, I said the opposite. We'll see nevela could become shchuta. We'll see that means in a second. Shchuta can never become nevela. Once it's shechted, it's mutal elam. It can't become nevela. And therefore, since shchuta can't become nevela, nevela is considered separate from the shchuta. And if nevela falls in the shchuta, it would pass bittel. It's mimbe inemine. However, shchuta ain't a bittel nevela. But the opposite direction, if a little bit of shchuta meat falls into nevela meat, it will not become bittel. Nevela could become like shchuta, namely, once it becomes no longer fit for achila, it becomes like shchuta no longer is a nevela, and therefore was considered Mimminai, and therefore they wouldn't be bittel according to Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore what? So says Gemara, Mar Firzais, Hachrami Tchi Isle Bailim, Le Bala, you can tell me according to your logic, Rabbi, that's totally in, bittel's totally in, whether or not you have Mamma and Sheish Le Tavim. Is it totally if there's Bailim here or not? Is that going to be the distinction? Vachite, maybe say Hachrami, yeah, you'll say that's not Mina, whether there's Bailim here or not, like Abba the bittel, Vatanya, but we learned in a Bryce, Amar Bech Menuri, Chas Hefker, Kain Shvisa, the Chafutsum of Hefker, they have no Bailim when Shabbos or Yom Tov starts. It gets its own shvisa, it gets its own 2,000 namas. Not like what we said before to answer on Amad Aleph. To answer for the Shar Shal Petim, according to Shmuel, who says that the Shar of the fatteners, animals, that they get the ragle, they get the trum of whoever is kainet on Yantav, that's the trum that gets, not the petim. We said according to Shmuel, it doesn't make sense, it doesn't hold the breira. So one of the answers we gave was because Hefker, Chefsi Hefker, get the trum of the person who's kainet. Whoever's kainet gets that person's trum, and we view the Shar Shal Petra, even though it's not Hefker, but since it's destined to go to whoever's going to be buying it, it's destined to go to the various people. He's fattening up the animals for various people. It goes to the whoever it's going to be kainet. That clearly, that Eteretz we gave before, goes like the mission we're going to quote in tomorrow's Daf Naflam Etes, where the mission says that Chefse Hefker get a din like the ragli, the one who's kainet. That's the Mishnah that comes up on Daf Lametes. But right now, Rabbi Chaim is saying that the Chefse Hefker get their own shvisa, their own 2,000 amas, restricted on 2,000 amas. Afal pi she'en bailim, daimin kmi she'esh l'bam. Here's the point that we need. Even though Chefse Hefker have no bailim, according to Rabbi Chaim is saying, we treat it as if it has bailim. We see from here, at least according to Rabbi Chaim, even an object which has no owner, it does get a din of shvisa, it does get a tchum. And therefore the mayim and the melech is back to a problem. Amar Lei, so Abaye switches the argument up, and it's still going to be a question against Rav Abba. Ultimately, it's still going to be a question of Rav Abba. Mika Medamas Islam Amayna Isser Batel Batel Amayna Batel. Yes, how could you compare Isser to Mammon? Isser is not but Isra is batul. Sorry, Isra is batul. Mama doesn't batul. What he's asking her is teeth. What he's saying is, I'm asking to you, mama is not batul. But the din of tchum is not mammon. Yes, it's based on mammon. Tchum is based on who owns it, but tchum is not ultimately din of mammon. Tchum is din of isser. Isser is batul. Even if tchum is based on who owns it, at the end of the day, it's still isser. The fact that Reuven owns it creates now an isser called tchum, and now, or in this case, there was a woman. This woman owned the mayim melech before Yavdiv. It creates an isser called tchum, but this is tchum is bittul. So, Vaiter, back to Kasha, why do we not say bittul on the mayim melech? That is the question. Meaning, even the shitas cha, that's totally a mammonist, the mammonist ultimately leads to isser. And isser has din of bittul, and therefore, we should not say bittul. The Gemara is going to give three answers. We'll pick it up from time to time tomorrow. Mitzvah, have a wonderful day.